Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will dream it.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And we're going on tour. Come get tickets to see us live all around the country. Well, in many places in the country at whoweekly.us. And you'll hear us sing. We're singing.
We are?
Yeah, here's a clip from one of our rehearsals.
Hulu, who knew they had so much TV? Plus TV, HBO Max, I got for free. And this rap wouldn't be complete. I gotta give a shout out to Sesame Street. So many characters I love, in fact. That's Burton and his business. We don't care about that.
I'm not sure. I guess I should have called that rapping, but can I call that rapping? Like, can I call
what
that rapping?
What is going on with, like, the way that, like, the chasm between how real people think about Rita Wilson and how Hollywood thinks about Rita Wilson, like,
and how Rita Wilson thinks about Rita Wilson.
Well, that's a whole other.
And how Tom Hanks thinks about Rita Wilson.
There's a weird, like, disconnect there. Is she, like, the darling that we that Hollywood thinks she is?
I think people just feel so well about, not to define a woman based on her husband, but I think this is an exception.
It's an
here.
Extension, like, of Tom.
It's like people love Tom so much. He is an anomaly. People love him so much, and he's sort of, and if he's not really accessible, it's sort of like, well, we can get Rita. Rita always answers her phone. Rita is always down.
I just feel like it's such a funny, where she keeps showing up and she keeps rapping, and then you have, like, compare that to her, like, rapping son, who never comes up and is weirdly, like, on the same track as her, but nobody wants to talk about him.
It's just funny that Rita Wilson, sorry to Rita, is, like, just, like, not iconic at all. And not only is she not iconic, just, like, from a very, like,
she really isn't
run-of-the-mill
too, right?
perspective of celebrity, like, she's not famous for television, so why is he at the Emmys? She's not really famous for movies. She's, I guess, famous for singing. But compared to everyone else at the Grammys, she's way down the list and doesn't really deserve time there.
She's famous for being
there.
Tom Hanks' wife.
Yeah, so it's just like, what are you doing at the Emmys? But kind of, what is she doing anywhere, you know?
So mean.
Why not? I guess Rita's going to rap Just a Friend. Even the other people are singers. Like, they got the guy, the Hulu, the white guy who raps, who has the show that everyone's like, it's actually really good. Like, what's that show called?
Lil Dicky.
What's it called? Dan?
It's called, like,
Dave.
His name.
Oh,
Dave.
God. But it's like, and Dave's actually really good. At least I know that he is a rapper. Like, Rita Wilson.
Yeah, I guess she's always down. They just always, like, love to trot her out, you know, as, like, someone. It's just very strange to me with the whole, like, we're not going to talk about your son, you know, we're not you're both kind of out here rapping. Like, I just, it's very weird. Like, why do we let her get away with this?
And she is, I guess, A-list. She's just, like, one of the kookiest people in the A-list, you know, and she's A-list simply because she's Tom Hanks's wife.
Yeah.
And I don't, that sounds so nasty to say, but I think it's true.
No, I mean, when you break it down,
I don't know that I'd say she's good at rapping.
She also, okay, so the rap reported she was, she wore a Tom Ford suit, and she was on the red carpet talking to Karamo, and who, by the way, E is calling him Karamo Brown, and I thought we dropped that Brown months ago.
No,
someone's got to talk to E.
E needs to correct
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
E needs to correct
I'm putting
it.
In a call. He's just Karamo.
Karamo is Karamo.
Also, as I was saying his name, I was like, I'm not going to say Brown. Like, everyone knows it's who
no.
Karamo is. Okay.
No, just I'll give him that.
She said she was asked why she chose to go outside the fashion norm, which is, by the way, going outside the fashion norm in this example is wearing pants and not a dress. It's 2021. Okay, just Let's remind ourselves that. And she said, because I don't drop Molly, I rock Tom Ford. So she was trying to quote Jay-Z. She got like pretty close.
She got like, pretty close.
Yeah. It's pop Molly, not drop Molly. I don't know. Like, you can't really drop Molly. You drop acid. I guess you'd pop Molly like it's a pill. I don't think I need to explain drugs to Rita Wilson. I think she's very familiar with drugs. Not that she does drugs. I'm saying her son does drugs. My point is that the rap slammed her for misquoting JC. That is so mean.
She loves to rap. Remember when she rapped right at the beginning of the pandemic when we were all like, we're just going to be indoors a few months. Everything's really cute now. Like, here's Rita Wilson singing Hip Hop Hooray.
I live and die for hip hop. This is hip hop for today. I give props to hip hop. So hip hop hooray.
I give props to hip hop, Rita Wilson.
As an aside, she did raise money with that thing. That did raise she money. Did. So
she was also the face of
that's cool.
COVID for some time, you know.
She was the first person to get COVID. One of the first, the second.
She was patient zero. So, you know, the Emmys.
They
it's funny
on.
That like we were complaining last week that like we wanted to watch the VMAs, but it's impossible to watch. The Emmys were so easy to watch. And I was like, I don't need to do this.
Well, they were really kind of just
weird.
The shows that swept were like not shows I care. Like I was like Ted Lasso, The Queen's Gambit and The Crown swept. Like, could you think of a more like kind of a. Just bland kind of swath of television, you know?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. There were some fun writing awards.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, Hacks won and Mayor got some people some Emmys.
Michaela
too.
Cole won, but Michaela Cole won for like, what did she win for writing, right?
Yeah.
It's like all the actors were like, Ted Lasso and Mayor.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like I could barely watch the VMAs, but I could talk about them for 6 hours. Like, I could watch the Emmys, and I really don't want to talk about them for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, the VMAs had layers to them. There was fashion and stuff and new people and people I didn't know and young people. And the Emmys kind of felt everybody there. I was like, oh, you're here. You look fine.
At least the Emmys are responsible for one of the funniest tweets I'd seen in a really long time.
Yes.
Which was from Variety, and it said... At Variety on Twitter tweeted, The Handmaid's Tale sets record for most Emmy losses in a season.
Congrats to The Handmaid's Tale. Congrats to the
Guess who wasn't there? Elizabeth Moss.
Well, of course she wasn't there. Because they warned her, you're about to lose and it's going to be a record.
Or they said, where's your vaccination card? And she was like, I don't think I'm going to win. I'm not going to come.
Yeah, there wasn't as much speculation about who wasn't at the Emmys as there was about who wasn't at the VMAs and Met Gala. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Even though like literally in the opening remarks, Cedric the Entertainer was like, everyone here is vaxxed. Like he said that.
He also did a joke about The Fly. So
not the movie.
I can't talk about this
The actual fly that landed on Mike Pence's head from like, what, eons ago? That felt like a century ago.
You know what happened more recently, as in yesterday?
Yeah. What happened?
Farrah Abraham said that she was going to Yale Law School. Or applied.
Or applied.
Or applied.
Hey, you know, you told us last time we saw you that you got your transcripts to enroll at a new school. I'm just wondering, have you done that? Have you picked a school?
Yeah, it's like, again, exciting times. So like law forms are coming up. We have so many options as law students to schools, like Yale's reached out. So I'm just so pumped because I have all these choices for law school. And yeah, so I don't know if I'm gonna stay here on the West Coast or go to the East Coast. I do have to say, after the Harvard debacle, I think the West Coast is more diverse and appropriate for like inclusion, better weather. So we'll see what happens about that.
We got the former Teen Mom star at Debbie Durkin's Ecolux Lounge event.
That's where you find people. Where do you find Farrah Abraham if not Debbie Durkin's Ecolux Lounge?
We were looking for Farrah Abraham because we wanted to talk to her. We found her at Debbie Durkin's Ecolux Lounge event at the Beverly Hills Hilton.
It's one of those, it's like an Emmy giveaways events. So it's Emmy adjacent and you show up and then you get stuff. It's
one
of those.
Yeah, that's the best part about the Emmys is the gifting.
Remember?
The gifting things,
the gifting tents. Or remember last year where they had to do it, but it was drive through. They had this last year, but it was like you can drive through this time and pick up your stuff. So, and people did it. But Farrah actually went to this and they were like, oh, Farrah, how's it going? Thanks for coming to the Ecolux Lounge. And she was like, I'm going to Yale.
Farrah said she's a wanted woman now that she secured her transcript from Harvard. She wasn't even there that long. How much transcript could she have? And told us with a straight face, Yale and several other law schools are now recruiting her. I have a question. When did this become law school? Was she going for law school?
No.
Okay, so now no. She's going to law school.
Which of the hooligans got Farrah Abraham's number and said, hi, Farrah, it's me, Yale.
Yeah.
Are you interested in law school?
I just am like, how did it become law school? Wasn't she doing like a business program or something?
Mm-hmm. And she was taking writing classes because she wanted to like be a writer. Farrah Abraham thinks the Pelican Brief is like a pelican in underwear. Okay, so I feel like this is going to be a problem.
Maybe she wants to go to law school so she can sue Harvard. Maybe it's a retroactive.
Oh,
maybe she feels like she needs justice, and so she's going
to
say.
Maybe, but she lives in California. Why would you go to law school? Why would you just not do the thing that Kim Kardashian did, where you hire someone to help you pass the bar?
Because Farrah Abraham knows about two colleges. One is Harvard, and one is Yale. And the other one she went to for undergrad, which was the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale.
I mean, good for Farrah Abraham. She really knows how to maintain attention.
I mean, this story has now gone on for weeks, and it was literally like barely a blip. It deserves barely a blip, and yet I've given it my full attention for a while now.
Yeah. I'd rather hear more about Farrah Abraham trying to get into Yale Law School than I would about the Emmys.
Yeah, and the Emmy for supporting actor in a drama series goes to
Farrah Abraham.
Here's a Page Six headline. Exclusive. This is an exclusive from September 2021. Kim Whitley once mistook Marlon Wayans' penis for, quote, a small bat.
Wait, and then the next day, in Page Six, you have Kim Whitley recalls the time singer Bobby Brown bit her. I'm sorry, I haven't seen a Kim Whitley headline in quite a while. No, sorry, I haven't. And now we have
quite a while. I mean, she's a who. Yes.
Back to back, yesterday and today, Kim Whitley is in Page Six. What's going on?
With a them. So you have Kim Whitley and Marlon Wayans. I think that's who them. And then you have Kim Whitley, Bobby Brown. I think that's who them as well.
I'm just saying, like, why? So like, usually if I was running a publication, I would say, didn't we just do Kim Whitley yesterday? Why are we doing Kim Whitley again? You know?
It's all because she has a new special on this channel, TV One. There's a new show called Uncensored. And I guess the PR team at Uncensored, this autobiographical show where it's just like every episode is a long interview with like an icon in comedy or like entertainment. This episode is just getting tons of PR. This is a publicist doing so much work. This is very successful marketing for a show that I hadn't even heard of. And the story also, by the way, she didn't see his penis. She saw he was wearing like sweatpants and she thought that he was, the story is like, oh, I thought that he was making a joke. I thought he put something in his pants. And everyone was like, Kim, he's not making a joke. He's not. So who is Kim Whitley? Where she's the who? She's a comedian.
Yeah, she's like a classic, what would you say, 90s comedian? I mean, I don't know. It's
comedian.
Like, I remember I most love Kim Whitley from Ladybugs.
Oh my God, you love
Ladybugs.
Yeah,
that's like the only.
That's so funny that you love Ladybugs.
It came out at the time that it was like the most effective for me. The main boy in it is so cute. And it's such a cute movie. It's a good movie. I don't know. And Rodney Dangerfield, I knew no context of. So when that came out, people were like, oh, that's the Can't Get No Respect by guy. I was like, that's Ladybugs guy.
I mean, apart from just being a very famous comedian in her own right, I think her most iconic role is being Auntie Sugar in Next Friday.
Yes.
But then also, unfortunately, it might also be an iconic guest star in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my God, you're right.
As the woman that Larry David hires to put in the car in his car so he can drive on the high occupancy vehicle lane.
To tell you the truth, what I'd really like to do is I want to go to Dodger Stadium and I want to go to the game and I'll pay you for your time. Maybe, 5 hours it'll be.
You just want me to sit in the car?
Just sit in the car, that's all you have to do.
Oh, you a crazy son of a bitch. All right, $1,000.
$1,000? What, are you kidding me?
That's,
$200 an hour?
Exactly. I can get 4 blowjobs an hour.
4 blowjobs an hour?
Oh, yes, I'm good, okay?
Hey, I drove a cab. I used to drive around for 2 hours. I couldn't get a fare. You telling me you're getting 4 blowjobs in an hour?
Yes, honey. You done picked up the best. Honey, I got a red snapper that talks to you.
You know what it's saying? I'm charging way too much.
This opened a door because whenever you Google Kim Whitley, and you know Google does like, people also ask, this is so rude, but it's a joke that she makes all the time. People also ask, one, is Jack A. Harry related to Kim Whitley? She isn't, by the way.
I mean, it's weird to say, are they related? But they do look alike, and
they look alike,
and they have existed in the same realm. They're both comedians, and they were famous around the same time.
Number two, who is the lady that looks like Jack A. Harry?
Oh my God.
And three, does Jack A. Harry have a sister?
I do feel bad because Kim is second to Jack A. Because Jack A. is Jack A. Like she's anonymous, you know. But like
yes, of course.
But Kim,
Jack A.'s a them also.
You're on the island. I'm getting all kind of extras. It's like why are y'all treating me so nice? They was like Jack A. I was like, this is the best trip ever. And I came back home and I told my little baby Jesus friend, I got to tell you about Jamaica. Oh my God, we did this and we was naked and we were on the heat. And it was like, oh, Kim, you know what? You really shouldn't have been doing that. I was like, I didn't do nothing, but Jack A was a whore.
But this is really funny. So Jack A. Harry hates that they look alike, but I guess Kim Whitley thinks it's really funny because I was watching an old stand-up where like the punchline is that she looks like Jack A. Harry and gets a lot of laughs. That's Kim Whitley. Jack A. hates it. Here's a line also from this uncensored interview where she goes, Whitley's longtime pal, TV host John Murray, helped produce the comedian's episode. Quote, in the episode, she opens up about how actress Jack A. Harry, quote, did not like me looking like her.
Can't.
I think that's a very Jack A. comment. I don't like that this woman looks like me.
Oh, see, any fool can wave a pom-pom. What you girls need is a little something extra, like a gimmick. And you already got one going.
Like what?
Like that. That's one thing. Yeah, look at you. Everybody knows the best things in life come in twos. Earrings, shoes, pizzas.
Mom, pizzas don't come in twos.
Oh, they do when I order them.
Speaking of stand-up comedy, XAEA12 calls Grimes Claire.
I think having a baby was a big kind of like rebirth for me. I don't know. Being a mother feels weird to say. For some reason, I don't like identify with that word. Which is also really weird because he says Claire, but he doesn't say like mama, which is so, I'm like, how are you? Like maybe he can like sense my distaste for the word mother, which I don't even know why I have a distaste for it because I like respect it with it. I can't identify with it weirdly.
Grimes went to the Met Ball and then told an interviewer that her son calls her Claire.
Not mother.
Claire isn't even a name that it's another name. You know, we have many names for her now. Grimes, Claire, and the baby has gone with Claire.
I do and don't want video of this.
It also is funny because the baby's name is also highly disputed. So no one's really got a clear handle on what they're being called.
People refers to the baby as X, so maybe that is what Grimes and Elon call him.
If you can't identify with the word mother, that the substitute would be Claire. Can you imagine this like baby walking into a room?
Hello,
like,
Claire.
Claire. It's very boss baby, I have to say.
You're a baby. You wore a diaper.
You know who else wears diapers? Astronauts and NASCAR drivers, that's who. It's called efficiency, Templeton. The average toddler spends, what, 45 hours a year on the potty? I'm the boss. I don't have that kind of spare time.
I mean, I'm surprised that the baby says Claire and doesn't just sort of like mentally project the word Claire to Claire via their like headsets. Hello, Claire.
Claire.
If you clicked on a video called Grimes Gets Ready for the Met Gala from Vogue, and clicked play, would you expect this to be the first line you heard? Here it comes.
I am hoping to die on Mars.
Honestly, yeah. I would expect that, to be honest.
I am hoping to die on Mars. She, like Selena Gomez, Grimes, I always forget what their voices are like, and then you hear them speak and you're like, oh,
Grimes is incredible. Like, there is something really fascinating about watching Grimes get the celebrity treatment in this video where she's like getting ready for the Met Gala and it's like she has all these assistants and designers and she's being interviewed by Vogue and it's like this woman should the idea that she's like getting this type of kind of narrative around her for this event, like it's hilarious. It's so she doesn't know how to react to it. I don't know how to react to it. It doesn't work. No one who's watching this video has heard a lick of her music. You know, it's just so...
Just imagine Anna Wintour listening to, like, Genesis.
All right, Anna, if you were to have a dinner party, what would be the background music you would play? Like, sometimes I'll go for, like, 60s big band pop songs, or sometimes it's Dean Martin.
Taylor, I like to start the evening off with conversation, and then when we move on to a more informal part of the evening and into music, and maybe this will cause you to forgive me for my answer to the cat's question, I definitely would choose Fearless, maybe Red, and then of course Lover.
Speaking of calling your mother Claire, Vanessa Lachey got a new job and she's really excited. The new job is leading NCIS Hawaii, which is one of the NCIS spinoffs. It's the
Vanessa
new one.
Lachey, it's the first... who is married to Nick Lachey, who is
formerly Vanessa Minnello,
probably now more like accomplished than Nick Lachey in terms of like her resume, which is funny.
More culturally relevant than Nick Lachey, 100%.
Yeah.
So Vanessa Lachey got cast as the lead in NCIS Hawaii, which is the new spinoff of the very popular NCIS series.
They're going to Hawaii.
Can you tell me what NCIS stands for, Lindsay?
New cops is served.
Okay, is that your final answer? Can you do better than new cops is served?
National Central Intelligence System.
No, Naval Criminal Investigative Service.
Not naval.
Everything's
Wait,
naval.
Wait, it's about
it's
boats?
So naval.
You know what I think? This is a crime scene. Jane Tennant, Special Agent in Charge, NCIS Hawaii.
I'm not going to pretend like I've seen a single episode of NCIS, but apparently
it's about...
Sorry,
if you had to guess what NCI stood for, you would also be like, new cops is served.
No, I knew it was Navy. I knew it had something to do with Navy, but I don't know that I would have been able to get the other
one. How about
ones.
Like...
I would have called like Navy something.
How about like, not cops, I say. That's my NCIS.
Not cops, I say.
Yeah, that's my ACAB. When everyone says ACAB, I say NCIS.
Do you remember the show JAG?
Yeah, do I?
Oh, yeah. My parents were very into the show JAG.
These shows have been on for decades. It's the same show. It's like, we're cops. We're soldiers.
But
we're in the Navy.
But not really.
Fly a plane. Yeah, no.
We're cops, but not really. It's very niche.
She is the lead on a big show. I mean, this paycheck must be like... Oh,
huge.
Talk
enormous.
About
her biggest
the...
paycheck. I bet it's her biggest paycheck.
Nick Lachey, like,
and it's
just...
consistent.
Nick Lachey just decided to like take off the next 5 years. You know, he's just like working from home.
So this show is finally going to premiere. This casting was announced in like April 2021. I guess they started shooting it in like June, July 2021. They had to move to Hawaii. Oh, what a tragedy. We had to move to Hawaii. There's like an interview she did where she's like... You know, I discussed it with Nick and the kids, and we all decided it would be a good idea to move to Hawaii. And I'm like, do not make this seem like a sacrifice, please. Like,
okay, but why we're talking about this is that she posted a video. And this
yes.
is not just like a short, oh, I'm crying, LOL. It's like a 25-minute long Instagram video.
No, it's like 2 minutes.
No, it's so long.
It's 2 minutes of her sobbing.
Okay.
Right after she got the news that she was cast as the lead in NCIS Hawaii.
Okay, I'm in the car and I just found out I got the job. And I'm so happy. And I couldn't take a video because I was on my phone. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Thank you. I'm so happy. We're happy, right? He doesn't know what we're happy about.
There's a kid in the back. There's a child in the back who, by the way,
what?
Is like, why is she crying?
Oh, we're happy, right? He doesn't know what we're happy about.
He's like,
he's
help.
Like, he's like,
he's like
giving
calling 911.
Chloe. It's like the Chloe gift. It's Chloe.
He's literally calling 911. This is like ultimately very sweet, but there is something a little bit like, ugh, about like the idea that you would think to turn on the camera, like at this moment, like she's on the phone, kids in the back, cameras on.
That's why she got the role. That's why she got the job. She knows when to turn the camera.
I know.
On.
I'm like the CBS executive being like, that's why we hired her. Good job, everyone. Shut it down.
Meeting adjourned.
Is it CBS?
Meeting adjourned. Oh, yeah. Oh, has anything ever been more CBS than Vanessa Lachey on a show called NCIS Hawaii? That's the most CBS thing in existence.
She
went to the Emmys with Nick yesterday. And
oh,
she
I saw.
Amazing.
She looked amazing.
She looked amazing.
Yeah, because she's a CBS girl now.
Mm-hmm.
They had to, you know,
oh
trot
God.
Her out.
The Lachey family just got so many credit card invitations in the mail. They were like, hello.
Oh, my God.
Have you considered applying for a platinum card, Vanessa Lachey?
Do you want to renegotiate your home loan or something? Like, everyone's just like, everyone's just calling. Like, every single 98 Degrees band member is like giving a call to Nick being like, hey, buddy, I have an indie movie I'd love you to finance.
She is, Vanessa Lachey, though, has been around for so long and is always like, I mean, I love that she's always been in the background. She's been in the background for as long as I can remember. And like, this is pretty cool. I'm genuinely happy for her.
Yeah. No, you know? I think it's great.
As happy as you can be for someone you don't really care about.
No, and that's why the sobbing was like, at the same time as it was like, what the fuck is this? It was like, oh, cute. This is fine.
Something funny that she has a book coming out in
A book?
November. Oh. She has a book coming out in November. And it's called Life from Scratch. Family traditions that start with you. And the description says, create delightful family celebrations and cherished memories with this inviting collection of season-by-season holiday hacks, recipes, birthday rituals, and date night ideas from Vanessa Lachey. And so the first thing that came to my mind when I saw this was, this was before she realized she was going to get back on television.
Oh,
she
yeah,
was like,
easily,
I got
yeah.
She was like, I got to pivot to lifestyle influencer. And then she got the big gig. She got the big job. And she's like, well, I guess I'm done with this shit. Like, how is she going to find time to promote this
There's
book?
There's no way.
While filming
also,
NCIS.
It comes out literally, like, in a month. So she's going to have
like,
to...
Like, promo cycle starts now. She doesn't have time to do this.
Vanessa Lachey is an actress and the host of Top Chef Junior and Netflix's hit reality show, Love is Blind. She's also a former Miss Teen USA and holds the Guinness World Record for the most bagged lunches assembled in by an individual in 3 minutes.
Wait. Stop it. She has a Guinness World Record for the most packed lunches in 3 minutes.
I don't think that's an award you
Vanessa
can win.
Lachey does. No one's better at packing lunches than Vanessa Lachey. GuinnessWorldRecords.com, 2019. Vanessa Lachey proves faster way to pack kids' lunches by setting new record.
In a fun event hosted by Stonyfield Organic at the Grove. Can't imagine a better event. On Sunday, 10th of March, the host and actress successfully attempted the most bagged lunches assembled in 3 minutes with a total of 9. She only did 9? Each bag lunch included a sandwich, a piece
How
of fruit.
How many bagged lunches could you make?
One of Stonyfield's organic... Oh, I can make more than that if I wasn't including a sandwich, a piece of fruit, one of Stonyfield's organic latest snack pack products available in 4 different flavors.
Oh, I cannot.
If you've wondered how Guinness is doing as a brand, not well. Not well, bitch.
The video or the photo of her holding her certificate, it's framed. And I'm sorry, this is so funny. So it's framed. It has the Guinness World Records logo up top. And then it says certificate. And this is the top third of the paper. The bottom two thirds is what it takes to describe what she won. And it says Guinness World Records certificate underline. And then it says the most bagged lunches the most bagged lunches prepared by in 3 minutes by an individual was awarded to Vanessa Lachey and Stonyfield Organics in Los Angeles, California on March 30th, 2019.
I am so proud of her for like pivoting out of this dark realm of like mommy adjacent. Yeah, no wonder she's like literally like cannot believe that she booked a real job, you know?
GuinnessWorldRecords.com refers to this woman as a celebrity mother. That's right. It. They never call her an actress.
And that's the day that she called her agent and said, get me on CBS or I will die.
Oh my God, I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Okay, what?
I said she was only referred to as a celebrity mother and nothing else. No, she's referred to as two descriptors.
Uh-huh.
One, celebrity mother. Two, yogurt maker. Oh wait, yogurt maker is Stonyfield Organic.
No, they're the yogurt makers, not her.
I thought that she was a celebrity mother slash yogurt maker.
No, but that's the day that she called her agent and said, get me.
Oh,
if you don't get me a job, you're friggin'
God.
Fired. Okay, well, now we understand the sobbing. I actually do feel like this went full circle.
That's great.
Good for her.
That's great. I'm really happy for her.
You know who I'm not happy for? I'm pulling a U.
Asa Butterfield?
Yeah. What the fuck is going on with Asa Butterfield?
Relax, Asa Butterfield.
Asa Butterfield's out here tweeting like, get the fuck away from me when I'm out in the town. He says, I'm so tired of people filming me / taking pics without my asking while I'm on my night out. It actually kills my mood and my night. Fuck off. Leave me be, please. Who is out here being like, Asa Butterfield, Asa Butterfield?
I think plenty of people. I think sex education is big with the younger set.
Okay, maybe, you know? Fine.
But he goes, tweeting this from a cab home after I've had to slap multiple phones out of my face tonight. I'd love video of that. If you have video of Asa Butterfield slapping a photo out of his
phones.
Face. To...
I read that differently. Midway, I was like, who is he slapping? Be careful.
And the next tweet is, anyway, look at my cat. And then he posted his cat to like,
the
situation.
Yeah.
Do you still watch Sex Education? Did you ever watch it?
No,
I watched the first season.
Never watched it. Don't watch it. Is it good?
I thought the first season was fine. I was mostly just like, not for me.
Isn't there a teacher? Who's the teacher in it?
It's Gillian Anderson.
But I think the new one, she won an Emmy last night.
Oh, I saw that. Really quickly, Gillian Anderson, not English, right? American. She's an American woman. Did you see this?
Just to kind of continue with the whole Margaret Thatcher thing. First question, if you've talked to her about this role at all? And secondly, why do you think it has taken America so long to get a female leader? You know, when all of these other countries and look at what Margaret did in the UK.
Well, I have not spoken to Margaret.
Someone, while congratulating Gillian Anderson at the press conference afterwards, asked if she talked to Margaret Thatcher about her role. She died many, many years ago.
Yeah, that's...
Have you talked to her about this at all? Gillian said, well, I have not spoken to Margaret. Wait, I'm giving her a British accent. She's American. I've not spoken to Margaret. I actually do get fumbled up as to whether or not she's English or American because it's so trick. Like, it's, I've been fooled so many times that I don't know which end is up anymore, where I'm like, wait, I know it's a trick and I know that it's obvious, but which one is obvious? You know, I don't know which one is the obvious one anymore.
She you know? Is American. You understand?
I mean, I know she's American, but it's always hard for me to remember that.
Do you need a mnemonic device or something so you can remember?
Yeah.
Do you want
GA means
Georgia, America.
Guess she's American. Guess American.
Girls American. Like,
she's a good American.
She's a good American, like the Khloe Kardashian jean brand.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now you're never gonna forget.
I'll never forget.
Okay.
You live in London, and I saw you interviewed there, and you had a British accent.
Yes.
Which you don't seem to have.
Oh my God, I think we talked about this the last time I was on the show.
We do, and it always mystifies me.
I know, it mystifies a lot of people. I grew up in London, and and I lived there.
Right.
And so it was my initial dialect when I was 2 years old. And so when I'm there...
You're talking at two? That's fantastic.
Those kids are talking at two. What were you, like, four, five?
No, 14, I think. I don't know. Is it two or kids talking at two? But with a British accent?
Yeah, with a British accent. Oh, I was. Anyway, can we not talk about that?
Go, move on,
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner, and dancing, courtesy of Lala. Did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out, you won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment, and even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, 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 comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. We're going to tell you about a new show called Jocular, hosted by ER Fightmaster, whom we've talked about on the podcast before, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, and they're also best friends who are obsessed with women's sports. Kind of like I'm becoming obsessed with women's sports.
You are.
They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women-focused in the world of sports, and in each episode, they'll cover the latest games, debate pressing issues, and review how they're all really horny for basically everyone in the game. This is every time I talk to someone who's a fan of women's sports, like a genuine fan of women's sports, not like a newbie like me, they're like, horny, 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 horny. I'm horny for all of them.
I know. They're always crushing on people in the game. But that's why it's like we need a podcast that's not us to kind of tell us what we're supposed to care about, who we're supposed to care about, who's hot and who's sexy and who we're paying attention to.
Yes, and that's what Jocular is for. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping. I don't even know what power slapping is, but I'm in. So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts now. Speaking of things I'm never going to forget, the photo Aunt Anstead posted of Renee Zellweger on his Instagram.
Are they Instagram official now? Is that what this means?
That's what this means. We're going to talk about some relationships really quickly. The first one, Instagram official.
I gotta say, I hate this like category of confirmation. It's very
Instagram official.
Yeah, it's like it's usurped the the kind of release that I want, the more official release where they give a statement. Uh-huh. Instead, it's just we posted a picture. Great.
Yeah.
You know?
She doesn't have an Instagram, only he does. So he's the one who posted it.
I wonder who's more famous. Right.
There's no caption either. It's just a loved up selfie.
They're cute together.
She looks happy. Thrilled.
Yeah.
She looks really thrilled. Happy. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Vanessa Lachey. I'm happy for Kim Whitley. I'm not happy for Asa Butterfield. Okay, that's the recap of today's episode.
You know who I'm also
so
happy
far.
For? Adele.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy for her. She also went Instagram official.
Them dating Rich Paul, we thought she was dating someone else, but maybe she wasn't, or maybe she was.
We thought because people were like, I saw Skepta in the
Galleria.
He had Skepta tattoos all over his body. And everyone was like, well, I guess that's who it is.
A few days later, she was spotted with Rich Paul courtside because he is a basketball agent. And he's actually he's a big deal. And that's a good match for her, I feel like.
Yeah, and they're cute. She's been so private about everything for the past like 5 years that it is sort of surprising that we've gotten these.
But I do feel like
photos of them together.
Adele loves to like go out. I feel like she's private, but she loves to go out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like she wants to be private, but she also wants to see and be seen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
She seems fun. She has a lot of friends.
And she has, and she loves to have fun and loves to go to a party. Right. And so it feels it's very to categorize her as private is wrong. I feel like you'd get the wrong.
She doesn't do interviews. There's
of,
a difference between yeah. There's a difference between doesn't do interviews and private.
Right. But I do feel like she can't, even if she doesn't do interviews and isn't really out there, you still get a sense that she's really fun, which I think is kind of a magical thing with Adele, is that you still like see glimpses of her and you're like, she looks fun. You know,
remember when she went to Pieces with Jennifer Lawrence? Yeah, that's fun.
She's fun.
That's annoying. I'm rolling my eyes at it, but that's fun. She's fun.
So now she is, you know, out and about with Rich Paul. Rich Paul is LeBron James' agent, literally. Mm-hmm. And like, from the very start to the point where LeBron James is obviously a superstar and Rich Paul has kind of rode that wave alongside him, picking up other superstars along the way. There's a really long profile of him in the New Yorker from the June 7th issue that is kind of just gets the whole thing.
But they have been professional partners since literally LeBron James was like drafted into the NBA.
Right.
So I feel like he must be a sports them. I'm just going to speak for sports people and call him a sports them because he just seems so like integral to LeBron
James' success.
Oh, I think
so. I think he's definitely a sports them. Because I also think like, again, not knowing about sports, like agents are weirdly like talked about. They're like celebrities within that world as well that you would know. He's also like, he's writing a memoir, you know, like he is.
Agents and managers, they kind of have to, having a high profile is helpful, can be helpful to their business, you know? To make them look appealing, to give them that sort of allure.
But
you
don't
know?
You feel like in sports, agents and managers do more scouting of young people and it's more talked about from the beginning versus like actors where you don't really hear about like, oh, this manager picked up this actor. Like you just really don't.
Yeah, with celebrity managers, you hear the celebrity manager and agent stories are usually they are dropping their agents or their agents drop them.
Yeah.
Or, oh, can you believe they've been with the same agent for 25 years? Oh, that's so sweet. Like that's kind of it.
Yeah.
So one thing that I still find funny, and I don't know how to put these pieces together, but this is back when this was when we both individually read this profile and whenever it was June, that was kind of right when his relationship with Adele was quote unquote public.
There was a little
so it was sort of like
there.
It's not like Adele where it's like, where is Adele? Where is Adele? We need Adele. We haven't seen Adele in so long. Like this guy is not a celebrity in the way Adele is a celebrity. So it's just sort of strange that like maybe it's just a coincidence, but I was trying to like rack my brain as to figuring out like, is there something about the timing? Could this timing have been good for both of them? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think they were just working on this profile and it happened to coincide with him.
Well, in the profile, there's a moment, there's a scene
where she's there.
One afternoon in Beverly Hills, Paul and I walked into his living room with Mendelsohn. She was over yesterday, Paul said. Mendelsohn clarified whom he meant, dropping the name of a major pop star. Doing what, he asked. Hanging out, Paul replied. Why are you hanging out, Mendelsohn asked. Why not, Paul replied. I wasn't sure whether this exchange was for my benefit. Paul said, I'm dating.
Right.
I'm single. Put that in the story. He laughed for the first time all day. So, like, the writer's even like, why are you talking about this in front of me? Like, I'm standing right here. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you just say this? Like, obviously, you know what I'm here for. But that was the first, like, leak of it. But no one assumed it to be Adele until they were spotted together. No. Then they looked back at that and they said, Adele?
It must have been Adele. And then everyone was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rich Poole, what would you like your rainbow to say?
You know what?
Any advice, like a joke, a pun, a hyperlink, a SoundCloud
album? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think one thing my dad used to always tell me, and then my mom too, and like, you once a man, twice a child. And so what I mean by that is like, you're born a child and you grow to become a man. And so the things you do as a man ultimately will reflect on what happens when you become that child again, when you get too old to
take care of yourself
and move around. That's probably—
that's a great rainbow right there. Yeah.
Yo, give it up for Rich Poole. You did it! You know
what I'm saying? So we talked about this a few weeks ago, or Lindsay, you know, proposed a theory that the reason Pete Davidson and Kaley Cuoco's previous relationships fell apart was because they fell for each other on the set of that movie Meet Cute, and I think we called it a Meet Horrible. And now it's actually getting coverage in the tabloids. Here's a story from OK Magazine.
I do think that they're running anonymous with the same rumor that, it is a little, it's still, it's not, this is like, if my rumor that I said was like the bottom of the barrel, like rumor, this is like
translated
only three
into
steps
tabloid
up.
Speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what the source said about Pete Davidson and Kaley Cuoco. Pete thought he'd be a lot more cut up about Phoebe than he was, but the vibe he's got going with Cuoco has helped him dust himself off and not mope about the past. Plus, a lot of people think he and Kaley are way more compatible than he ever was with Phoebe, Ariana, Kate, or most of his exes.
I'm sorry.
He matches Kaylee's high energy levels. They're having a blast.
No.
A lot of people think that
literally
he's more compatible with Kaley Cuoco than he ever was with Phoebe,
this
Ariana, or Kate.
This is great promo for their movie. That's all I have to say. And the other stuff is, I mean, who are these?
There is no way that movie is going to be good.
What do you mean?
There's a 0% chance that movie is going to be
good. No, I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be a disaster.
Oh, I don't. I think it's going to be fantastic.
As much as I like Kaylina, I'm now a Cuoco stan. I'm a Cuoco nut. I know that I am a Cuoco nut now, but like, worried about this
if
movie.
You were a true Cuoco nut, you would have faith in her rom-coms. I think she could pull off a good rom-com. Pete Davidson, you know, we'll see. But has some magic about him. We would not still be talking about Pete Davidson if he wasn't at least kind of a curiosity.
A little bit magical.
He's good at curiosity, right?
Jordana Brewster wore her engagement ring for the first time because she's about to be married to Lindsay's favorite person, Mason Morfitt.
And Jordana Brewster,
the funniest name,
are going strong.
And what does Mason Morfitt do again? He's just he's like a businessman. Oh, he's the CEO of Value Act Capital. Right, mm-hmm. right. That does a lot for me.
Soon to be a Morfitt.
Well, she wrote JB, soon to be JBM, which is, I interpreted as soon to be a Morfitt.
She's going to be a Morfitt. I love that she's marrying a guy named Morfitt and taking his last name, or like vaguely taking his last name.
Jordana Brewster Morfitt. I can't wait till she's in a movie and on the poster it says Jordana Brewster Morfitt.
She's not going to make a movie with that name. There's no way. They're going to say, it's Brewster or we're not casting you. We can't with the Morfitt.
She might. Here's a People exclusive. Sorry, I just want to read the headline, then we can end the relationship segments. People exclusive. Hold on to your butts. Jordana Brewster says her engagement to Mason Morfitt was, quote, super romantic, colon, quote, my puppy was there.
Nice.
My puppy was there.
Oh my God, you're Jordana Brewster?
Please, keep your voice down.
Oh, right, sorry, yeah, I just watched every Fast and the Furious movie with my old roommate.
Oh, that's so cool, thank you. But you know, it's so weird, everyone sees me as this like badass action chick when really I'm just this total nerd who majored in theater studies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I went to this college in New Haven. It doesn't really matter which college, but it was in New Haven.
I'm sorry, Ms. Brewster, can we focus? I'm being gay baited.
Let's talk about vaccines.
No.
Dutzen doesn't want the shot.
Dutzen
she
Gross.
Says, I will not be forced to take the shot. A WHO favorite, someone we mentioned who comes up kind of frequently, is a Dutch model, Dutzen Kroos.
Hi Vogue, it's Dutzen.
Hi Vogue, I'm Dutzen Kroos and we are here in Cannes.
Hello everyone, I am Dutzen Kroos and I'm going to do a makeup tutorial for you today.
She just comes up a lot just because, I don't know, she's a model.
I don't know, she also is kind of...
has a lot of followers.
She's kind of weird
too. She's kind of famous. She's weird.
Wasn't one time.
She has a lot of famous
friends.
One
time was when she was like in the windmills, the like in the desert. Remember? She like.
I thought that was someone else.
Oh no, that was Romy Strush.
That was Romy Strush. Right, that's Romy Strush, and she was at the windmill. Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So Dutzenkrotz posted.
Well, she not only did she post like, I hate the vaccine or whatever she did. No one can tell me what to do. She was like, I've been off social media. Like, did you notice? Everybody's like, no. Like a resounding no. The past few months have been very peaceful without social media. Smiley face.
Which is why I'm breaking my silence to insert chaos into my life.
Exactly. If it was why so are great, you doing why this? Are you here? A part of me wanted to escape into my family bubble and leave everything to fate.
I'm suddenly laughing at someone being like, the past few months have been very peaceful without social media. Now I'm going to talk about why I don't want to get the vaccine.
Right. It's like, yeah, no, it's very, so I tried to ignore the negative and focus on the positive. But at this point, I can no longer turn a blind eye to the injustice that is happening right in front of us.
I will not be forced to take the shot. I will not be forced to prove my health to participate in society. I will not adopt exclusion of people based on their medical status. Freedom of speech is a right worth fighting for, but we can only solve this united in peace and love. What does this have to do with freedom of speech?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to parse that line. Freedom of speech is a right worth fighting for.
Someone who tries to like rationalize their anti-vax beliefs is like, you're not going to be able to understand it. But Gisele Bündchen understands it because she commented, I know Dutzen.
Well, she saw, I mean, I think she saw like people being like, oh, yikes, yikes, yikes. So she commented.
It was like, don't hate her. It saddens me to see all the judgment and lack of empathy in so many people's hearts. Hate is not the answer.
And I would love Dutzen to have some empathy for like all the people who died, you know? Sounds like she doesn't really.
Mm-hmm. Seems like she doesn't have empathy for other people.
Right. And good for her that she gets to get away from social media and spend time in a bubble. Must be nice to spend time in a bubble. Mm-hmm. No COVID in a bubble.
Yolanda Hadid commented.
I bet.
And now you might be thinking, why a liver cleanse? Beginning of 2019, I started off doing everything I can to become a better version of myself. One of the things I came across was somebody talking to me about, you know, how to clean your body and how everyone is doing colon cleanses. And this person told me that you can do everything, clean your body, do juices, whatever, like me now. But if your liver is not fully working, then it doesn't make sense to do anything else. So I researched a little bit and I came to the conclusion that I really wanted to do it.
Derek Huff did a 25 Things You Don't Know About Me. The headline called out the one I snuck at the John Mayer's dressing room, but arguably that's the least interesting thing of his 25. His 25 is actually quite boring, to be honest, but one of them is really good, and it's because of brackets. We were going to mention brackets again.
But I love brackets. Can be powerful. Powerful brackets. The voice of the editor shining through is always what I want to see the most in my, you know, Us Weekly. And in this one, Nicole Massabrook or her editor really like decided to take things into their own hands. He said number 21. He said, I'm going to read it without the brackets and then add the brackets. Okay. Haley and I are obsessed with Sackboy on PlayStation and completed it to 99% during quarantine. So then Nicole comes
the
in.
The editor was like, yikes, this isn't going to work. Then this isn't going to work.
The editor said, how about number 21, girlfriend Haley Herbert and I are obsessed with Sackboy on PlayStation and have completed 99% during quarantine. So they added girlfriend and her last name.
We don't know who this woman is and we don't know why we care about her. Okay, let's answer those questions in two brackets. And in case you didn't know what she is, I'm going to read from her Instagram profile, which is his girlfriend, Haley, brackets Haley, brackets
Herbert.
Girlfriend, or brackets girlfriend, brackets Herbert, is a lover, an animal enthusiast, and a food fiend. She's also a top six, so you think you can dance finalist, and she's on Dancing with the Stars, which I guess we knew.
Like as a dancer?
Yeah, she's a dancer.
She's a pro?
Hey everybody, welcome to Daily Life. That's our unofficial theme song.
By him.
That's right. So today we are going to be doing something that might potentially ruin our relationship. It might traumatize this connection. It might be the end of Daily forever. I'm just kidding.
I'm like, I hope not. What?
It might get heated,
but
it won't get heated. It'll get lukewarm.
Sam Asghari's ex-girlfriend reacts to his engagement to Britney Spears.
I love this. So like, Sam Asghari's girlfriend was either tracked down or she was made a phone call. But I think it sounds more likely that she made a phone call because this is the first time that she's come
up. Totally.
And the other fascinating thing about Sam Asghari's ex-girlfriend, whose name is Myra Veronica, who is a popular Spanish pop star.
Ish. I think she would like to think that she is, but she's...
But she's got some, like, songs. She had, like, a song... She had, like, a number one song on a dance chart, Spanish language dance chart.
Like, one, but it was with other people. I think that, basically, even her Wikipedia, everything about it is, like, extremely inflated. I don't think she's as impactful as she would like you to believe, but she has released technical hits. Yes.
She's a hustler.
She's always working. She's always filming a music video. She's always trying to get her face out there.
Okay, but the point is that she dated Sam Asghari after she met him on the set of her music video. And if you remember...
Which is how Sam met Britney Spears.
Exactly. Sam met Britney Spears on the music video for Slumber Party, which is hilarious because guess who else was on that music video? Tinashe.
And Sam met Myra on the set of her music video, No Boyfriend, No Problem.
The other funny thing about No Boyfriend, No Problem is that it sounds like this.
This is not No Boyfriend, No Problem, but this is what one of her songs sounds like, which is like, just listen. You got my senses whirling. You stole the breath from me. Existential overload. My world that keeps on spinning. Gotta make a move right now. Can't let this moment pass. It's a Womanizer ripoff.
It
this is Myra
like
Veronica's song Freak Like Me, which is... Like, she's a Britney Spears wannabe. And then Sam Asghari was like, well, I'm going to get the real deal. That's so weird.
She also dated Reggie Bush, who was married to Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Married to? Did they get married? Mm-hmm. I forget. Anyways.
Reggie Bush was never married to Kim Kardashian.
Okay. They dated, though.
Yeah.
The Bush and the Tush. I'll never forget. She called them that. I did not. Kim Kardashian called them the Bush and the Tush.
Speaking of never forgetting... Never forget Sam Asghari was one of the hunks in the work from home video.
Oh, yeah. He was the one doing the real construction work while, like, what's her face, like, took a fork and, like, hit it against a tire a little bit or something.
Not quite being certain how to, like, perform work is so funny. Also, I hate that, like,
yeah.
Why is the song...
No, work from home is amazing.
Like, there are so many ways to, like, get the point across that you're working from home. Like... Construction doesn't even make sense. Construction is the imagery for work from home makes no sense. And I know that work from home is like innuendo. Like, I know it's about like, let's just fuck at home. Like, I understand that, but it's like construction is the wrong metaphor in all
sense. It's actually working on a home.
It's working on a home.
From a home.
Exactly.
Right. And so they didn't know how to translate. Like, first of all, work from home now has a totally different meaning than it did when this song came out. Let's just say work from home when this song came out was more convincing as an innuendo because people didn't really work from home. It wasn't like, yeah. Oh, is this about a freelance lifestyle? To me, I was like, oh, relatable. Like, is this about like, you know, making sure that you walk around a little bit each day so you don't, you know, too sedentary? Is this about like leaving your house? Is this about like making yourself lunch? Oh, I love a song about that. It's my life.
And construction is one of those essential jobs that simply cannot be done at home.
Actually, it cannot be done at a finished home. It has to be done at an unfinished home.
That's so, like, yeah, you're right.
So they chose like imagery that never, ever fit the
ever
work from home. I'm just saying this has always been a fascinating subject. So Sam Asghari is a construction worker. He worked from home. He's in a Slumber Party. That's how he met Britney Spears. He started this career of being in music videos by being in his ex-girlfriend Myra Veronica's music video No Boyfriend, No Problem, and she reacted to them getting engaged, which I love because she actually was very
so kind.
And Sam got engaged to Britney. How do you feel about it?
Oh my God, how am I going to feel? I feel great. I feel very happy for them. You know, he finally hit the jackpot.
Oh! He hit the jackpot!
You know what? She hit the jackpot too, though.
Yeah.
He's extremely supportive. He's a really, really supportive guy.
Yeah.
And after all the shit she's been through, that's what she needs.
She
know?
Deserves a guy like that. Do you think he's in it for the right reasons? Because a lot of people online say he's just in it for clout, for her money, but he comes off so charming on social media.
To be honest with you, again, he was a really sweet guy. I was kind of in a similar position.
Yeah.
When I first met him, my management and my publicist were extremely, extremely controlling.
Yeah.
So he was always super, super
super supportive.
Yeah.
So I think she's with the right guy.
She's with the right guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's a great quote.
That's
right?
A generous line. Yeah,
guess
that's
what
very
got,
generous.
If you had to guess what got pulled out of that line to be the head, the leading quote, what would it be?
On,
and anywhere
on
else.
On TMZ?
Or just everywhere else over the internet. Which line would you pull out to make it look shady?
He hit the jackpot.
Bingo. Exactly. Yeah.
He hit the jackpot.
So all over you see her. Sam Asghari's ex-girlfriend reacts to engagement. He hit the jackpot. Anyways, I really like Myra Veronica. Maybe I'm a fan.
Me too. Ben Barnes has a music video.
Ben Barnes is embracing. He's starting a music career. Last we heard of Ben Barnes, he was like vaguely dating Julianne Hough. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We were like, vaguely Ben Barnes, dating, what's going on with Ben Barnes? And the other time we saw Ben Barnes was when he was in Westworld. Anyways, he is releasing music, his dream. He didn't think he was going to get to release music like this, but he put out a song. It's called 1111. It's called 1111.
Don't speak for him like that.
Yeah.
Like one of his friends. He didn't think
that.
He was going to be able to do this.
He said
but...
that. In his, I am so thrilled to be sharing with you after 20 years of wanting to release my own music and finally finding the right reasons. It is never too late. Does the mirror number time 1111 have mystical cosmic significance? Maybe not, but it can't hurt to make a wish if you see it. My wish in the song is for you to be happy, free, and fearless in the pursuit of your dreams. So make a wish for someone you love. Okay, I can't. I'm out of here.
It's a little too earnest. It's a little too earnest.
And the music video stars Evan Rachel Wood, which is so sweet because they were in Westworld together, which is what I was like, why Evan Rachel Wood? What's the connection? And then, of course, I remembered that they're in Westworld together.
I wish for you to be happy. I wish for you to be free. I wish for you to be feeling. That's wishes 1, 2, and 3. And I won't wish to be yours or for you to be mine. But I wish them all for you every time.
Also, Lindsay, he wrote this song too. He's the sole songwriter.
He's got like
of this song.
Ben Barnes has a really strong fandom because of Shadow and Bone. You kind of
are and
like,
Narnia, but yeah.
But you're kind of like Ben Barnes, like who? And it's like, but there's like a lot of people who are like fucking Ben Barnes stans. Because when I was looking around for other videos of him singing, which by the way, he loves to sing.
Come on, baby, it's you. You're the one that gives you all. You're the one I always call.
I love singing.
There were all these like Ben Barnes stan videos, you know, compilations and like sweet things like that that are only made by certain types of fans. Loves to sing. And the other fun fact I learned about Ben Barnes as I was searching about things about his music career, like if he had sang, like his singing past, was that he was in the fucking finals for Eurovision.
He didn't get in, as you confirmed, because you were like, he was in Eurovision, but
He
was wasn't
in
it, but he was in a final.
A boy group called High Rise, which was spelled H-Y-R-I-S-E. Like, Hires.
It's got to be High Rise. There's no way it's not High Rise.
It's got to be High Rise. And it came in second place in the UK to go to Eurovision. And then what's really funny is that the song that beat it came in 20th place. So maybe they could have used Ben Barnes. Song is kind of good. I think both songs are kind of good.
It's very adult contemporary.
Crooner.
I will hear this while I'm waiting for my flu shot.
He said, I love that he shades Eurovision. He's like, it showed what happens if you try to do something that isn't authentically you. We sang the song 3 times. The next day I called him and said, I'm embarrassed. I can't do this anymore. Well, you didn't get chosen, so.
We sang the song 3 times, and the next day I called up and said, I'm embarrassed, I can't do this anymore. I mean, the video is a little embarrassing. Their dance moves are really kind of humiliating. The best way I can describe his song, 1111, which I'm sure you're going to play a clip of, is via this YouTube comment on the video from Vanessa May 3 days ago, which reads, he literally has the perfect voice for Christmas songs, if that makes sense. And I was like, does make sense.
It's
it does make
sense.
It's
kind of a slam, but I think this person means it as a compliment.
Oh, they love it. Vanessa May loves Ben Barnes.
Right. I agree. I love it too.
He wrote it. He's multi-talented. Speaking of multi-talented people.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Rita covered Vogue. No, wait. Rita covered Vogue. Lindsay goes in and edits the copy. Rita covered Australian Vogue.
I put Australia in brackets. It could not be more fitting that Rita is on the cover of Australian Vogue. That is her, like, that's where she's been for the past year, you know? Mm-hmm.
Australia's happy to have her.
She lit Australia on fire. And I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively.
First of all, her outfits are ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
The photos are fun, but the clothes are bananas, okay? Bananas, 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 bananas. But she loves taking a fashion risk. But this profile, gotta say, a little disappointing.
Oh, it's like...
We don't get a lot here.
It gives us nothing. Nothing.
She's like, first of all, it suffers from the 2021 problem, which is it's all over Zoom. She's media trained to within an inch of her life, so it's just so buttoned up and professional. She's not casual at all.
The headline is, Rita Ora on hitting the sweet spot of success, making joyful music in lockdown and protecting her privacy. Here's the thing. If I see protecting her privacy, I'm not reading the profile. Like, I read it because it's Rita, my job. But that to me is, I don't need to hear that discussion again. You all have the same take on that discussion. And I support you and you should protect it, but I don't need to read it.
Did you like the part of the profile where she's like very impressed with herself for like buying a computer?
Yeah. Yes.
She's like, during the pandemic, I had to buy a computer and I set it up. Can you believe that I set it up? And it's sort of like, I kind of can't believe that you set it up.
Well, I can't believe she set it up because then she did a everything I do in a day video for Vanity Fair. And and it was like, my alarm goes off, but then like my assistant comes and wakes me up. And I'm like, your assistant? And it's like, yeah, her assistant's her sister. So
her assistant's her sister, because she mentions her sister a lot by name in the profile. And it's like, thank God for Elena. Thank God for Elena. She like keeps me focused. She's so amazing. I love my sister. She's always with me.
But then...
Which brings us to the pop bitch rumor.
The same week that this comes out, or like the same around the same time this week comes out, in the latest Pop Bitch newsletter, which is a...
Which again, you got to subscribe to.
Amazing. British talks a lot about British celebrities, British tabloids, great blind items. They do a great Eurovision explainer. Big fan of Pop Bitch. Anyways, we have a blind item.
It's literally popbitch.com.
We have an item about Rita. The items aren't usually blind, actually. That's what's kind of nice, is they usually say exactly who they're about. But they're blind item-y. They're in the same voice. Mm-hmm. This says, a mysterious aura. I'm going to read the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah, read the whole thing. Yeah. It's good.
What with all the music, TV work, films, modeling, and endless brand partnerships, you've maybe found yourself asking, how the hell does Rita Ora find the time to get absolutely everywhere? This is something we talk about a lot. We are curious about how she finds the time.
Yeah.
Well, there's an interesting rumor going around that might help explain it. Rita's sister manager, Elena, does such a convincing impression of her sister that journalists suspect that she takes care of a lot of Rita's phone interviews herself. It would actually make a lot of sense for the Ora camp. Elena has micromanaged sister's press relations for so long, prepping Rita on her lines, briefing reporters on what they can and can't ask, tipping the paps off just to Rita's whereabouts, etc., that doing this just cuts out the middleman, a.k.a. Rita. That is such a good and convincing rumor.
That's spicy, spicy, spicy.
So she does an impression of Rita, or like her voice sounds convincing enough like Rita's, which actually we could double check that, but I bet it does. And she does her interviews for her, or some of her interviews for her.
But also, Rita sort of sounds different depending on what she's filming.
Yeah, I mean, she's not...
Like,
she's
whenever
not,
you know it's her.
If Rita Ora's sister called me and said, I'm Rita Ora, I would say, okay, I'm not going to double check that.
You would cover the receiver with your hand and be like, Bobby, it's Rita Ora. Like, you would fully believe it.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you.
She also mentions Tyka in it, but that's when she's like, I don't really want to talk about this.
Yeah.
She says, Ora certainly looks happy, beaming radiantly on the Zoom despite jet lag. Remember that? And an early start to a Paris... Rita Ora got jet lag more than I got meals at a restaurant in the past 2 years. Like, she gets jet lag all the time during pandemic. Okay. It might have something to do with her new relationship with the filmmaker Taika Waititi, who she was first linked to when living in Sydney. The couple recently made their red carpet debut at the premiere of The Suicide Squad in Los Angeles. Quote, I'm in a great place in my life. That's all I'm going to say about that, Bora says. Mm. She's trying to keep some things for herself. Quote, I just think respectfully privacy is important. Mm. Yeah, I learned a lot in my 20s, she says ruefully. Sure.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, I don't blame.
Meanwhile, at the Met Gala, all she did was ham it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you can't give me, like, respect my privacy, Rita Ora, and then give me 2 minutes later, Rita Ora is in every photo being like, woo, 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 you know, like, everyone else is like, Rita, get down, and she's like, on the table, you know?
Emily Blunt looking up at her being like, I don't know who this woman is. It's so funny.
Shout out to the photographer, Daniel Arnold, who shot for Vogue and did a lot of kind of behind the scenes, like in the Met Gala, like photos on a really cool
camera.
Great
photos.
But
they're
so many of them are of Rita, which I think is so funny. Like Rita's like everywhere in these photos because she's dynamic.
I feel like cameras are sort of like dowsing rods when it comes to Rita. Like they just like instinctively point at her. You know?
No, I'm just saying it's like. Yeah, he kept turning his head and she was doing something worth taking
a photo of. And
there she is. Yeah.
And then she also had the headline in page 6. Rita Ora and Diplo celebrate the end of New York Fashion Week with strippers. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 619 Who Then Believe questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday show, Who's There? Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to our assistant, Timmy, for providing editorial research. And support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for bonus episodes. Also buy tickets to our live shows. So many messages at the end of the show now. Buy tickets to our live shows. We're traveling soon at the end of October, November, December.
We just added, I don't know if you guys saw, I should have said this in the beginning of the show, but we added free dance parties at the end of both of our Brooklyn shows as hosted by DJ Louie and us. DJ Louie is coming in to do dance parties for us.
So if you can't come to the show, you can just come to this.
Yeah, if you can't come to the show, you can come to these. If you have tickets to the show, you can come to these as well. Please, though, register for them. Links are in our Instagram and on Twitter, and we will be talking about them more. But free dance parties, like, that's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to end this recording so I can read the new Happily Ever After newsletter, which just came in our inbox. It says, HEA Weekly 920, pumpkins up. So I'm going to go read that. Bye, everyone. Bye. Have a good week.
Bye.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
Yo, they want to know. Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Come on.
Hey. I want to be famous.